hear the Good Neighbor Network, FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna, audio and video streaming at WGNSradio.com. This is the WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Scott Walker.
Right now, that time, 8:17, you're tuned to WGNS on this Monday morning, today the 16th of December. And now in studio with us this morning from MTSU, we have Matthew Hibden, and he is the Strategic Communications Manager for the MTSU College of Liberal Arts. And I guess, first of all, talk a little bit about what you do there on the MTSU campus.
Yeah, so I work in the College of Liberal Arts, which houses our departments that help students study our performing and fine arts, humanities, social sciences, so anything from history to dance to theater, sociology, and a lot of great experiences that help prepare students for future careers in a variety of fields.
And you also went to MTSU, so you know a little bit about the campus, I guess.
I did. I was a history major at MTSU for my undergrad and then did my master's in higher ed. So,
have you been surprised how much the school has grown over the years since, you know, you first started going there?
Oh, it's tremendous. You know, I'll walk through or walk by a new building and I'll be like, well, that was a field when I was here, right? And that wasn't that long ago.
Yeah.
And it's been crazy to see how much it's grown over the years and what opportunities we have for the students now.
Pretty cool. And you were talking off the air a little bit before we came on the air about some of the opportunities that have come up in recent days and how even one of the plays that MTSU students have performed is going to be on PBS.
Yeah. So this is our Joys of the Season program, which is MTSU's holiday showcase of our MTSU arts programs. And we started doing the program for the television instead of for a live studio at Tucker Theater during the pandemic. And it's evolved over the years into this really beautiful television program. And PBS Nashville picked it up this year, and they're going to air it this Friday night.
So has COVID kind of pushed some of the departments forward in a lot of ways that, you know, I don't know, made them branch out or go ahead and jump to programs they were thinking about implementing and just go ahead and doing it?
Yeah, I mean, we're still coming back strong and doing in-person performances, and there's been a great return of audiences to the theater and to our concert hall, but the pandemic forced us to think a little bit differently about how we can reach a wider audience, so that's why we took our Joys of the Season program to the air to help showcase our students' talents across Tennessee, and there's several TV stations outside of Tennessee that pick up the show now, too.
And so what all is involved in that Joys of the Season program? I don't know, the lineup or everything that went into it. What all is involved in that?
Well, you know, like any good Christmas show, we had to start thinking about it this summer, right? Because
right.
You have to plan it out and start thinking about the faculty and student schedules and, you know, because they need rehearsal time. And this is in addition to all the other concerts and programs that they're doing, is we had to start filming this back in October. That's the secret of television, right? And it all had to come together that way it'd be ready for viewers to watch right now.
Yeah, this is kind of like a Halloween / Christmas
right.
Event, you know, production.
So we started filming the day before Halloween, and you see somebody walk out in their Christmas sweater, and it's like,
that's
okay,
look,
'tis the season already, right? but this show in particular is really great because it helps us showcase our MTSU arts programs, like I said, theater, dance, art, and music. And so we have a stellar lineup this year, and this fall, Christy Schamberger, who's our department chair, and also the musical theater director, she directed a show called She Loves Me, which is a great musical comedy, like rom-com from the 1960s that has a excellent Christmas song in it called 12 Days to Christmas, about shoppers hurriedly trying to get their last-minute gifts together. And so we were able to film that. And that has our students in full costumes with full lighting design, set design, you know, all of that experience like being at the theater, like you would see on PBS for great performances.
Yeah.
We got to capture that for audiences that weren't able to get to the theater in November to see it.
Do you sometimes see students who are part of these different, you know, plays and whatnot, do you sometimes see some years more so than others even, where you say, you know, that student is going to really succeed in Hollywood? They're going to go on to be something huge? I have a feeling.
Yeah.
And then maybe they end up doing it sooner than later.
I have a prime example of that, actually.
Right.
So, and you talked about some of the programming we did during the pandemic, right? We had students who still wanted to, you know, showcase themselves and their talents, and faculty who wanted to do that for them as well. So Angela Tips, who's in our School of Music, she works with some of our choir students, and Devin Bowles was one of her students, right? And I remember working with him during the pandemic. They were filming a music video. He did an interview to help promote it. He is now on the national tour of MJ the Musical, which is about Michael Jackson. And that is coming to Nashville to TPAC this April and May. So we're going to do an alumni night there, and he's going to do a meet and greet with folks. And so that's an example of a student just from the last few years who's taken the talents that he's honed at Tucker Theater and is now taking them on the road to share with audiences everywhere.
And how does a student take that step? You know, they go from college performances to Broadway or to movie productions. How do they go about taking that step? Because that's, you would think, is a pretty big leap.
Well, step one is to go to class, right?
I would guess so.
But that's where they build those connections with their peers and their faculty, and they get recommendations and have those experiences and go to the conferences and meet the people in the industry. And, you know, that's part one, right? And part two is being involved in their field here, right? So trying out for that audition, for that performance, right? And getting those nerves of auditioning out of the way. That way they are better prepared when they enter the professional field to do it. And with Devin, he took the leap to move to New York after he graduated.
Yep.
You know, the pandemic was, you know, kind of at its height, and we graduated in 2020, and he said, you know what, I'm devoted to my craft. I want to move to New York City. So he did it.
And you know, today there is more opportunity, you know, in the Middle Tennessee area than I think there ever has been before. So there's opportunity to try out for plays, for, you know, maybe commercials or even TV shows in Nashville. And that didn't used to be the case. It used to be, well, every once in a while, something big, some kind of production would come to the Music City area. But now it's on a regular basis.
Oh, yeah. Oh, secret about my, you know, behind the scenes, you know, camera work here. But I got to be in front of the camera when I was a student because the TV show Nashville was filming in Nashville, right? So even I got that experience. I wasn't a theater major, right? But I still got that experience being part of our thriving arts community in Middle Tennessee. So I'm still on the mailing list for that company that does the casting calls, and there's stuff all the time.
Oh,
and there's
a
lot of great opportunities for our students, and they don't have to go out of state to have those, right?
Yeah.
The Center for the Arts just did a wonderful production on campus this past few weeks. And, you know, we've got Studio 10 in Franklin doing a show right now that one of our lighting faculty members helped design. Some of our students have been involved in that. Nashville Rep does a lot of great productions where our faculty are involved. So, and that's just the theater scene, let alone the concerts that our faculty are part of with Nashville Symphony. And so there's a lot of opportunities for folks here.
And you know, even though people assume, you know, all the country videos, all the little sitcoms, everything's filmed in Nashville, but the reality of it is a lot of it's filmed right here in Murfreesboro. Even some of those Nashville episodes, you had scenes that were taken right here in the borough.
Yeah, Eric Church filmed a music video for his song Springsteen over in a neighborhood in Blackman. I mean, this is years ago, right?
Yeah.
But people don't think about seeing Murfreesboro on the screen, but we're everywhere.
For sure. And it does make it, I think, a lot more intriguing to a student who's in college thinking, you know, I want to make it big one day. I want to be an actor. I want to do this. I want to do that. But I want to be on the screen. I want to be, you know, fill in the blank. There is a lot of opportunity here.
Right. And, you know, if you are a fan of the arts and listen to interviews with, you know, different stars and artists, you know, they'll talk about seeing a show on, especially PBS,
yeah,
right? It's like, oh, I remember watching Into the Woods with Bernadette Peters, right? And that was kind of their call, that, you know, they wanted to be part of that magic, right? So that's our hope in televising Joys of the Season to a wider audience, that hopefully we can reach some of those students and let them know that we have those programs in the arts that can help propel them to that next step.
So this Joys of the Season broadcast on PBS, when is that going to be and how can folks watch it?
Yeah, so we actually premiered it on MTSU's True Blue TV station last week. So it was a special kind of early gift to our alumni community who watch our MTSU programming. And that information is available at mtsu.edu/TrueBlueTV about how you can watch that. But if you have over-the-air TV on Channel 8, that's the local PBS station, or any way that you watch PBS, whether it's on their website or on the app, that's going to be streaming this Friday night, December 20th at 9:30 p.m., and then they're actually going to air our 2023 episode at 9 o'clock. So you can have a double feature of MTSU programming on PBS this Friday night, which is really exciting for us.
And when you talk about some of the larger productions that are put together at MTSU, you're talking about multiple departments coming together because you have, you know, scenes, backdrops, you have music, and you've got dancers. I mean, there is more than just one department that goes into some of these productions.
Most definitely. And with this one in particular, like I said, we have the theater production that's doing 12 Days to Christmas. We also have Dr. Brian Hazlett from our School of Music. He's a cello faculty member, and he put together a custom arrangement for the show and worked with some of his students to learn that and perform it. We also have some dancers from our dance program who are doing a classic from the Nutcracker, Waltz of the Flowers, and this year's the 70th anniversary of George Balanchine's famous Nutcracker production with the New York Ballet. So, yeah, that's a quick holiday favorite for a lot of folks from that show. And we also have Dr. Carol Nyes, who will be playing the sleigh ride with the symphony orchestra to kind of close out the show. But we have a new addition this year that we're excited about, showcasing our arts faculty with Dr. Debbie Sickler-Void.
When it comes to the students who make all of this happen, are we seeing a large number of students from out of state, or are a lot of them from Middle Tennessee?
MTSU has a long history of attracting talented students from across the U.S. and world to come to the campus, but we have so many students who are from the local area, right? I grew up in McMinnville, 45 minutes away, yeah. Right? And MTSU was a draw for me to come move to Murfreesboro, and I've been here for pretty much half my life at this point. And so MTSU is a great place for local students to go and get those skills to take them to the next level.
Are there a lot of opportunities for students to get scholarships of different kinds in order to be a part of the different arts programs?
Yeah, MTSU has... Sorry.
Oh, you're good. It's that time of year.
It is that time of year.
Tis the season for coughing and sore throats and all that good stuff.
And just sinus drainage in general. Yeah, thank you, Middle Tennessee. Allergies, right? But MTSU has guaranteed scholarships for students, whether they're a first-time freshman coming out of high school, whether they're a transfer student, and then there are additional scholarships for students once they get admitted to MTSU. So if you're coming to the School of Music, you audition, you do well in that, there's special scholarships they have for you for that. Our Honors College has scholarships, and there's even more scholarships available for students once they get at MTSU, thanks to the support of our donors.
Now, you're seeing more and more high schools these days offer programs that are college-level programs, and the kids are actually earning college credits. Is that, or does that translate to kids graduating at an earlier, younger age than maybe what they did in the past?
It depends. So, like you said, we have a lot of opportunities for students to start taking those classes earlier. Some of them will take one or two classes to kind of get exposed to the college learning environment through dual enrollment. And I've seen students who are graduating high school with their associate's degree too, because they've taken so many, classes early. So it varies from student to student, but it's been a great opportunity for students to kind of dip their toes in the water and see what college is about. And MTSU has a thriving dual enrollment program.
Hey, I always think of that TV show, that was it, Doogie Howser, MD, and he became like a doctor at age 16 or something, which, of course, I don't know that really happens. Maybe it does somewhere, but anyway, that's what I think about when I hear about students who are in high school taking all these college classes. But yeah, the cool thing about it is there is a lot of opportunity to do that. And there's also a lot of classes that people can take online, too.
Yeah. And, we're looking at the arts opportunities at MTSU. You don't have to be a senior to get cast in the lead role in a production, right? It's about finding the best fit and the most talented students for those roles. And so we had such a talented group of students audition for the theater and dance production of She Loves Me that those lead roles were double cast. Huh. And so that gave even more students opportunities and access to that experience to be the, kind of leading man, leading lady in the show. And
do you sometimes see freshmen who are, new to the campus, they're coming in, they audition, and they do get a leading role?
That happens pretty much every year.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And, I think part of our success with that is with our devotion to the arts programs through, the Governor's School for the Arts that we do every summer. And this next year will be the 40th year of that program. And so we have a great pipeline of introducing students to our arts programs through high school, and they get college credit for those who are selected to attend that, and then kind of hit the ground running when they get to MTSU.
Are you surprised by some of the talent that is developed maybe at MTSU, or as a student goes through the university, that you can see a marked difference from day one when they first started versus when they graduate?
Yeah, that's one of the awesome things about my job, honestly, is, we as a community, right, our faculty, the staff, we get to see the students from their first semester to the last semester, and then some of them stay around for, grad school and continue their craft more. And it's just amazing to see that growth from show to show. And, maybe they decided that they wanted to pick up a dance minor, right? So now they're not just a double threat being able to sing and act, but now they can add dancing and be a triple threat. And so it's amazing to see them grow and kind of walk through campus and just hear people practicing their instruments and crafts, outdoors even. So
is there a genre that you see more kind of go towards when it comes to acting? Is it comedy? Is it drama? What is it that you see, or is it across the board?
It's really varied. So we have a deep bench of talent for MTSU students, and they go on to do great things no matter what their field and area is, whether that's in art. We have Heather Mulder, who's a alum who recently won a contest to design a stamp for the postage for the U.S. Postal Service about the bluegrass heritage of the state. And so we have students who go into all different kinds of directions.
It's pretty cool. Even news production and investigative reporting, things like that too.
Definitely.
It is pretty neat. If somebody wants to learn more about the joys of the season, the special broadcasts, if they want to learn more about the arts at MTSU, what should they do?
Yeah, you can go to our website, mtsu.edu/mtsuarts, and we have a link there to Joys of the Season program, to information about how you can watch it, and then also links to our upcoming performance calendars for the spring semester for our music, theater, and dance programs.
Sounds good. And of course, there's season tickets you can buy each year for the different plays on the campus. And I guess you can buy those through the website as well.
Yeah, if people join the MTSU Arts Patron Society, they get exclusive access to some of our events on campus and free tickets to things. And some of our events aren't even ticketed. So it's a great resource. And parking's free after 4:30, so you don't have to worry about getting a ticket if you come to see a show. So we'd love to see everyone out.
That is a positive. Not have to pay for parking, number one, or get ticketed for parking in the wrong place.
Cheaper than going to TPAC. No offense to our
definitely
friends
is.
At TPAC.
Well, Matthew Hibden with us this morning. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much.
That time right now, 8:34. Stay with us. We do have more news and information coming your way next right here on WGNS on this Monday morning.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com. Get your good neighbor events to us in writing 2 weeks before they occur. We'll put them on the radio and the internet. WGNS, AM, FM, and online.
Santa Claus is coming to Animal City. Hi, this is Amanda. Santa will be at our store Saturday, December 14th from 12 to 3. He's ready to take pictures with your pets and family. We welcome all types of critters. It's the perfect way to enjoy the holiday and support Music City Animal Rescue. Bring the whole crew, two-legged and four-legged, and join the fun. Mark your calendar for December 14th at Animal City. You'll find us at 919 Northwest Broad Street right here in Murfreesboro. We'll see you there.
CBS News Brief. In a new statement, Syria's deposed dictator Bashar al-Assad claims he'd still be in his country fighting the rebels who overthrew his government if Russia didn't insist he leave. The BBC's Steve Rosenberg.
These are the first comments purportedly from Mr. Assad since those dramatic events that forced him to flee Syria.
Assad and his family granted asylum in Moscow. The federal government is sending help to New York and New Jersey to try to get to the bottom of those mysterious drone sightings. CBS is Scott McFarland.
Of the 5,000 tips they've received so far, less than 100 of them have generated credible leads.
Drones have now been reported over six states. An ice storm in the Midwest has moved east to New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut. Meteorologist Craig Allen.
Snow and ice this morning and into the early afternoon hours is going to change over to rain, and there will be several rounds of rain.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
We chose Adams Place for the security.
We're talking with Peggy Cunningham. What do you enjoy most about Adams Place?
They lock the doors at 8 o'clock at night, and you have to have a code to get in, so I feel very safe when I go to sleep.
Hi, this is Terry Deal at Adams Place. Call me for more information about Adams Place. Phone 615-904-9111.
On Memorial.
Across from Walmart.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
Right now that time, 8:36, you're tuned to WGNS, and on this Monday morning we have from MTSU right now in studio, Tricia Farwell. How are you doing this morning?
I'm great, thanks for having me.
Definitely, and you are an associate professor in the MTSU School of Journalism and Strategic Media and a faculty executive for Everblue Branding. What is that?
That is our student-run or student-powered advertising and communications agency. We started this spring with the student input, but before that, faculty were in the background doing the groundwork, kind of figuring out how we wanted it structured. In the spring, we handed it over to the students and said, okay, you fill in the rest. And so the students came in that first group, and they developed the branding, the name, everything that our agency is working on. There's a website that they worked on. And so that was our kind of groundbreaking, this is how we're establishing our agency. And then in this fall, we actually started taking on real clients.
And what types of clients are you taking on, and what are you doing for the clients?
One of our first clients was actually MTSU. They needed some research done for them, so they took a, kind of a risk on us to let us play around with that a little bit. But we did really good with that. Then in the fall, we had partnered with TREC and the School of Journalism, because we have a new ad PR degree coming out that needed to be advertised. And we've done some more work with MTSU, doing some of their social media in the background. And then in the spring, we are going to be working with a project called I2P, which is through Adventure Partners, partially a national competition, but also partially an event on campus where the students are going to plan, decide what they want to focus on, and then implement that entire event.
Do you take on commercial clients as well?
Absolutely. Part of this plan for Everblue Branding is that we will become self-sufficient. So we do take on paying clients. We do have kind of a different scale based on what people are asking us to do. And we also have some really great partners in the community that have worked with us and helped us a little bit.
And then for those new clients, what are some of the different services you offer? I mean, are you going for everything from logos to commercial production? What's happening there?
Some of it depends on who we have coming in for the semester, but pretty much if I have students who can do something for them, we will do it. So we have worked on logos, we've worked on research, we've evaluated programs where if people needed, you know, they want an outside view of what was going on and is that good, we've done that. We've done some script writing for people. So if I've got students who can do the tasks, we will work on it.
And research, that's always one of those big ones, I think, that a lot of businesses don't really, well, I guess they think they can't do the research, and mm-hmm. therefore they just throw their hands up and keep moving forward, trying to keep the lights on. But what types of research are available, or what types have y'all done in the past?
We've done everything from surveys to focus groups, and you're right, most people do kind of say, oh, well, research, that's either too much or too expensive, or we don't have the resources. But realistically, being on campus gives us a wonderful wealth of students we can draw from, and they have a lot of good input in terms of what they think companies are currently doing, what companies should be doing in the future. So we've, for example, had a focus group where we brought students in, and we just talked to them about why they selected MTSU for their school, and we can do something like that for any kind of business. If they have just something small that they want to look at, we can do that. We can also conduct surveys. We do have at MTSU the surveying equipment, so it's called Qualtrics, that we use, and that lets us do a survey, and then we can share it on social media, and we also go through our review board so that we make sure that all the survey questions are approved.
Are there still big advertising firms out there that are hiring, or do you see a lot of students create their own ad agency whenever they get out of school?
It's a mix of both. Really, it depends on what the students want to do with their lives. Most of them do tend to want to go to the agency life still and start there because it is a definite experience. I've always told my students, when you walk into an agency, you really feel what that agency is about. And we've got some really great agencies up in Nashville and some really good local ones too. So our students have a great resource to draw upon. So they can start at an agency for a little bit. And then once they get that under their feet, they might want to branch out on their own and start their own business.
And really, over the years, it's been impressive as far as what smaller agencies are able to do these days, mm-hmm. because, man, with computers in the ad world versus, let's say, 40 years ago, it's quite different.
It's completely different. I mean, even when I was in school as an undergraduate, we were just starting to learn what we call desktop publishing, which now that everyone has access to Canva, everyone can do all that publishing on their own. It's definitely opened up the realm for people to be able to get into doing creative work at a very inexpensive level.
And very impressive work too, often.
Definitely. And our students have been trained by going through our program so they can even bring in additional skills besides pulling down a Canva template and just doing mods for that. Our students have been trained in what makes an ad more effective. We have software where we can look at how people review the ads. Like we have, it's called an eye tracking software, and we can see what's the first thing that a person will look at when they see the ad. And eventually we're going to add a second part to that, which actually reads micro expressions on people's faces. So not only will we see where you look first, but we'll also see what your first reaction is to the ad.
So I guess this tracking would be done through somebody's camera, which is on their, let's say, laptop computer. Mm-hmm. And it's able to see what direction they look when they see the ad for the first time.
Exactly. It looks like a standard computer with just a little camera on top of it, and just the software that connects to all of that does its magic, and we can track expressions, we can track where they look, how their eye travels across the page, all sorts of data like that.
It's interesting what can be done these days.
It's kind of scary sometimes too.
It is. I mean, you even have, you know, phones tracking every sentence you say. Mm-hmm. When your phone looks to be off for the most
yes.
part, and then next thing you know, you turn it on and the ad pops up for whatever it was you just discussed.
Yeah, advertising has really taken some major changes, positive for advertisers, based on technology. We can even geofence right now. So when you're driving by a McDonald's, we can send you an ad to your phone because you're driving by that location that we've targeted to serve those ads to.
Which is kind of cool because you're able to target folks who are, all right, a McDonald's is coming up in 200 feet.
Yep.
And then that ad pops up right at the right time.
Exactly. And a lot of times advertising, for it to work right, we just have to be at the right time with the right message.
Yeah, and location's convert. Really important, isn't it?
Especially for restaurants or something where you want just kind of that impulse purchase.
That's right. So what all are students learning outside of, you know, the studies and, you know, the targeting of ads? Are they also putting together different things from other departments, like the artwork for, let's say, the logo?
Definitely. Some of our students actually have taken our media design courses, so they do have some experience on that. But this semester, for example, we had a student who was in the art department who came and joined the agency for the semester. So she brought that additional eye where we might have focused on the technical advertising side. She brought in a more artistic view of how to look at the project, and of course it made a better output.
Sure. And then how do you go about deciding what type of client to take on? Are you actively going out there saying, hey, you know, we would like to help you with your message?
To some extent, yes. To some extent, clients have been coming to us also. So we are at the point now where people are learning about us and what we can do. So word of mouth has been really helpful. But there is still a bit of us knocking on doors and saying, hey, this is what we're doing, and we'd love to do something for you.
Does all of this, or do you guys go as far as doing ad purchases, ad buys for different businesses?
Depending on what they're looking for, we can. I'm not sure we're quite up to the point of doing national buys, but we can definitely help with local buys.
And is there a big difference in the landscape, nationally speaking, versus local advertising?
I wouldn't say a big difference, but it tends to be a little bit more complex because realistically, most companies don't need to do a national buy. You have to be like a McDonald's or a Coca-Cola, where your product definitely is everywhere. But most people can get away with small regional buys or even local buys, which might be more effective for them.
I don't know that the general public really thinks about the amount of work that goes into marketing a McDonald's, marketing a Walmart, or, you know, those bigger companies, because you've got multiple ad agencies involved working together, and they're, like you said, regionally. Some of them are purchasing ads at that local level. Maybe it's in the Middle Tennessee area, or maybe it's New York. But there's a lot that goes into each and every ad.
Definitely. For example, the local McDonald's here, we actually worked with them a little bit and helped with some of their on-ground stuff on campus. But that was also through a connection with their ad agency, which I believe was based in Kansas City, but don't hold me to that. But they have an ad agency that they work with, and then they were working with us locally, and then there's also the franchise restrictions that come into that. And a lot of people, when they do see the ads, you're right, don't think about how the ad got on the television or whatever they're listening to. technically they probably think it's more of an annoyance, it's interrupting their programming. But there is a lot of thought and strategy that goes behind how we place the ads, where we want them to show up, when we want them to show up, and then what the messaging should be.
In this day and age, how big of a role is AI starting to play in marketing? And is that a role in the production? Is it the design of an ad? What is it we're seeing?
It's huge. Most agencies have already been incorporating AI into their work. It is everything from creating the creative. They'll write, you know, ask AI to write perhaps copy for an ad. And then someone, a human, would come in and then look it over, revise it, tweak it, and make it, I'm going to say, better.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit biased being a human there. But then there's also, on the media buying side, which is where you place your ads, the AI actually is doing a lot of our placements, because there's something called programmatic advertising, where we just log into a computer and we put in a few parameters, and then the computer system and the AI takes care of the rest, and we don't necessarily touch those buys, but we watch and evaluate afterwards.
Interesting. Again, with us this morning, Tricia Farwell with MTSU, and if anybody would like to learn more about the School of Journalism or about marketing and what you guys are doing there, how can they find out more information?
They can actually go to the agency's website, which is everbluebranding.com. They can send us an email at everbluebranding.mtsu.edu, or they can reach out to me directly, which is trisha.farwell@mtsu.edu.
Sounds great. Well, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Right now, that time, 10:48. I'm sorry, 8:48. You're listening to WGNS. I'm ahead of myself by 2 hours. Stay with us. We have more news coming up.
We're excited to announce that Capstar Bank is now officially a division of Old National Bank. The friends you've made while banking right here over the years are still here, and so are those delicious, warm, homemade cookies. Everything you enjoyed about Capstar is still at Old National Bank.
In Murfreesboro at 2230 Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard.
Come on over and enjoy warm cookies with friends while doing your banking at Old National Bank.
Old National Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Good morning. They were moving a wreck a few minutes ago over to the side, 65 southbound at Trinity Lane. Still trying to clean up an accident out of the 2000 block of Murfreesboro Pike. Traffic still a little bit heavy coming off that ramp from Vietnam Vets on to 65 southbound, making your way down through Madison right now. It's still a little bit heavy from a wreck we had earlier coming from Kingston Springs into Bellevue on 40 going east near McCroy Lane. Hey, whether you need a new roof, roof repair, roof inspection, call Independent Roofing Specialist at 991-2358. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
A few scattered rain showers possible late this afternoon with cloudy skies, a high in the mid-60s. Tonight, chance for some showers and storms, cloudy low near 48. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS. Currently, it's 55.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
Right at that time, 8:50, you're tuned to WGNS, and with us right now in studio, Dr. Sean Foley, a history professor who specializes in Middle East and Asian politics and culture. How are you this morning?
I'm doing fine this morning. It's great to be here again. I believe I was here about a year ago. We were talking about very different subjects, so the opportunity to speak with you and to your audience and to the wider community is someone I welcome, particularly about a subject for which both I, my students, and others at the university community played a terrific role in this past year. It's something I'm excited to talk about, and I'm really happy to have the opportunity on this cold and slightly wet morning here in the mid-state to have the chance to speak to you about something that was a lot of fun to do and for which I hope to continue.
Sounds good. So what are some of the things that you've been up to lately, and what are our students doing right now?
Well, one thing I came here to talk to you about is a class. I do a lot of things on campus. I focus on the Middle East and other things that we've talked about. I've taught on U.S. I've taught on world history. But I'm here to talk to you today about a new course I developed about aviation history. It's a world history course, but one designed for aviation. It was part of an exciting project that we had over the last year, the last couple of years, where we basically ripped up and did our entire gen ed requirements. really for the first time in decades, we decided, let's rethink how we teach this core part of our university to make what we teach to our students better, to better connect to them, and also most importantly, to better prepare them for the future, to give them opportunities for pathways. Okay, we've done it this way, it's worked, but can we do it different? And I was really lucky. When we started doing this for the last couple of years, one of my colleagues, Suzanne Sutherland, was head of our department, and I teach in the Department of History, that was responsible for this. And I talked to her about this course, which was an aviation course. And as I'm sure both you and many of your listeners know, we have a thriving aviation department that has been growing by leaps and bounds. It's been a challenge for both it's something for the university to deal with, but also, of course, for the airport to deal with. And Definitely. The idea was to say, all right, let's design a course that could better meet the needs of these students, but also other students who are interested in aviation. And that's where this course came from.
Okay. And you brought a diagram with you as well. So tell us about that. And how does all this go together with MTSU?
Sure. Great question. Let me add one thing. One of the things that made this project so very successful was the addition of Suzanne Sutherland, who's actually the head of our faculty senate this year, but also Dr. Paul Craig, who teaches in the aviation department. I cannot thank him enough for what he did. He was a partner who provided some excellent ideas to make the course better. He's someone who's worked directly with his department to bring students into the course. Always a wonderful thing. And one of those students, an aviation student, really told me, gave me a clear idea that this course was going to work. When we did a project, let me get it here so you can see it. This large, for your radio listeners, large whiteboard. It's on both sides, you can see. And we did one of the exercises we did in the class. There's both lectures, but students also get an opportunity to make a tangible contribution on their own. Was to develop, after they'd studied World War I, in aviation World War I, which was an important part of that war and global history, was to do a museum in Europe.
A museum in Europe.
Thinking in France, we picked a place, imagining, and what would you, with a budget, what would you put in this museum?
Sure.
We did it on a Wednesday. I normally had discussion exercises on Wednesday. But on the following, we didn't finish the exercise. So it went from a Wednesday. And on the following Monday, I started, let's finish up the exercise. And I come into the classroom and Peyton Cooley, one of those students from aviation, comes in with this huge whiteboard. And it's filled on both sides with what he proposed his group's museum would look like. And one of the things that was amazing about that when he did that, I knew I had a strong class. I had some really strong students from different parts of the world in the class. But when he did that, that pointed to me that they had taken ownership for the course. That this was something that they were willing to go the extra mile to. This project is this whiteboard, as you saw, huge.
Yeah.
That took real time and real effort. And it suggested both he and his colleagues had bought into the course. And that was something exciting for me, because that meant if I put in the work, they were going to respond and make it even better. And again, throughout the semester, I had other students. Joshua Rodriguez is one who gave me specific suggestions. Oh, if you thought about that movie, for instance, we were talking about space. Mm-hmm. He said, can you talk about Hidden Figures, for instance? Other types of stuff, too. I had one student, Chad Sapp, whose father had served in the Air Force or in the Navy, and brought in his father's aviation suit, including the outfit. And it was wonderful to see him wear it, as his father had, but also to see the students try it on. And you could feel in the room an electric sense. It was learning in the best sense of the word.
So history and aviation and you know, the whiteboard that you just held up, are these students hoping and pushing to move further into and opening up the world of history in aviation to a broader sense, maybe to the general public?
Sure, absolutely. But also, I should note, aviation is a rapidly growing industry. And the numbers that talk about for the future and where they're going to be in places like India, places like China, Latin America, and other places, it's growing quickly. Part of the point is not only to open up aviation to the community, but also to train students, to give them to know if they're going to work with aviators or other people from other parts of the world. They need to know so. And it also, I should note, goes back to here. This is a woman named Cornelia Fort. Mm-hmm. And Fort's a remarkable woman. She grew up in East Nashville. There's actually a Fortland, a street named after the farm where she grew up. And she was a female aviator and one of the first, and probably the first person to see the Japanese planes come into Pearl Harbor on December 7th, 1941. And she's there for a reason, because Paul Craig and I, when we came up with the course, he insisted that we make it global and we be inclusive, including that of women. And he suggested this would be a good story because it's global, it has women, but also ties in this region with aviation and the rest of the world.
Do you foresee an aviation museum in Tennessee in our area anytime in the future?
That's a terrific idea. We actually have aviation museums close by. There's actually an aviation museum, actually, I believe it's in East Tennessee, but that's a wonderful idea. In fact, one of the things that really helped out, Luke Traxel was a faculty member we had this semester who just sent me an email asking about that. So that's a terrific idea.
I mean, it seems like the Middle Tennessee area would be great for it, especially because we had the old Seward Air Force Base in Smyrna.
Yeah, absolutely. Those are some terrific ideas. And I should note that can I mention something quickly about the airport?
Sure.
I'm sure many of your listeners know about the challenges about dealing with the growth with the aviation program and at the airport. And in fact, one of the reasons I wanted to do this course was a good friend of mine, Joel Silversmith, is an aviation attorney who specializes in airports. It's one of his specialty, in particularly small airports. So I actually had we had Joel come in, and he gave a lecture to the aviation department, but also to the class. And as part of an exercise where students imagine they live in a town like Jetboro, and I had them recreate all the debates we've had in recent years about how they use the airport in Murfreesboro.
And you know, the interesting thing about the Murfreesboro Airport, it's landlocked and really can't grow outwards any bigger, and I understand why Shelbyville is going to be the new home for MTSU's, you know, fleet of airplanes.
Right. And one of the things we did with that is that was the Lincoln. And talking to Joel, who is a top aviation attorney, gave students an opportunity to meet with him, get his card, talk with him, but also to give the aviation students to understand one of the key themes of the course, which was the direct connection between what happens in the air and what happens on the ground. Those two things. And we even did a board game. Oh, Pan Am board game. And I should add, where I came in that day to add to it, I wore a Pan Am pilot's uniform.
Good old Pan Am.
That's right.
Been a lot of years since they've been up there in the air.
Yeah. Yes, it is. But they still remember. They're a key part of history.
Definitely so. Again, Dr. Sean Fawley with us this morning, and we're already out of time already, so we ought to schedule a time for you to come back when you have a little more time.
That would be terrific. Again, I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you and to your guest. Thank you again, and happy and good morning, and happy holidays and Christmas to everyone who's listening.
Right now, that time, 8:59, just 30 seconds away from the 9 o'clock hour. Stay with us, because we do have more news and information coming your way next.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.